It's testimony time, and it's pretty exciting. I've already got six people that want to share. If you are one of another person that wants to share this morning, please don't let the numbers stop you. Come and talk to me when I'm on the side there. Or if you're on Zoom, please text me, and my number should be up there in the Zoom chat. But let's start with Evan.
I thought I was going second or third. No, that's okay. You just caught me looking at myself in my camera, checking for spinach.
Regarding the testimonies, because we have so many and we'd like to hear from as many as possible, let's try and keep things as succinct as we can. And if I think you're going a little long, I may come up and it's just going to be a gentle reminder that maybe it's time to wrap up.
She knows me so well. I actually timed myself for that reason this morning, and I wrote it down so that I don't go off script. This is a testimony and some thank yous, just so you get an idea of what goes on behind God's Grotto Under the Sea and what has been going on for over a year. So God's Grotto Under the Sea is a demonstration to the community of how we love our Father in heaven, how we love our neighbors, and how we bless the nations. We're a tiny but mighty with God body of Christ where the workers are generous and joyful, who stand in Ephesians 6, 10-18 with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And since last September, when the leadership asked me to create something that was COVID safe for October 31st and entirely outside, I started coming to the church gardens and walking around the church day and sometimes nights as I felt led to come and pray. And I could sense the Lord's presence. And this year I could see a man's feet and robes walking barefoot in the grass with me outside the church. From this time with the Lord came the vision for God's Grotto Under the Sea and God's Journey Under the Stars. I prayed, prepared a plan for leadership and leadership and waited for approval. I also prayed, and this was more important, well, not that leadership isn't important, but that the Holy Spirit, thanks, Carolee. I brought her to church. I could bring her back. I also pray that the Holy Spirit would call out to your individual hearts and that you would respond to him with your creativity and your help. And together we built a creative, immersive experience of what it's like to escape the darkness of the world and enter a world of peace and beauty and light, which is a reflection of our peace and intimacy with God. Last year when I prayed for God's Grotto Under the Sea, I saw a white light shining above the church like a rescue light in the darkness. This year when I prayed for God's Grotto Under the Sea, I saw multiple lights of colors shining and dancing over the church. Last year was a rescue mission. This year was a joyful mission with the Lord rejoicing and singing over us, as in Zephaniah 3:17 and Luke 15. We received back from our visitors joy, appreciation, and hearts that were so touched by our efforts that one grandfather wanted to donate funds to the church to pay for the events. There's Thomas. Ha ha. There we go. And I wanted to give a big thank you to everyone who responded this year and jumped in to help. We have a very generous Holy Spirit who watches over us, who goes before us, with us, and after us. He prepared hearts to give and to receive and stopped the wind and rain and kept us safe physically and spiritually. Our prayer warriors who pray in and around the church and around the community and over the event and weather. Sarah Chipperfield, who purchases our treats and supplies, handles the digital marketing, and makes friends in the neighborhood. So we have connections 7 days a week. I won't say 24 hours a day because she's not here 24 hours a day. The Holy Spirit is. Deborah Martin, who is our volunteer gardener, she scrubbed the yard clean and made a rubbish pile in the back. Terry Martin, who cleaned up Deborah's rubbish pile and also put out beautiful outdoor lights over the backyard and front patio with Kieran. Our decorators, Carolee Duchin, Under the Sea photo booth and baby octopi and her jellyfish that were even more beautiful than last year. I didn't think she could top herself, but she did. The Trotters, who are right over there, their Jellyfish Umbrellas were another hit. Their octopi from last year inspired the octopus's garden. And Hannah's Inside, but Hannah's design ideas and approval of the octopus's garden was very important. Yep, she said it went as according to plan. So if Hannah agrees, we did well. The Chipperfields are also inside. The Yellow Submarine photo booth was hugely popular with the parents, in addition to the beautiful treasure box that they made last year. Deborah Martin, Legs Olga, the octopus, Terry named it, and her garden, parents shared that their children did not want to leave and tried to feed the baby octopi with their candy. Kai Ross and Rosie's coho salmon was in the back again this year, reflecting the light back to us in the darkness. Our balloon artist, Stephanie Bice Dallas, whose balloons created wonder and excitement for our world under the sea. Our givers, Trish and Chris, who were our fire pit hosts for about 4 hours. Our cafe baristas, Barry and Michelle. And they handed out at least, we're thinking about 300 hot drinks. Our backyard givers, now these are mostly new people, so really take a bow. Emma, Valerie, Hollis, Alex, Ashish, and Andrea and Ashish are not new. But and our front yard givers, Carl and Sarah Itamunoalo, and Deborah, you who is new, together you gave away over 1,500 treats. And we could have easily given away more. Music, Ashish, our playlist, Ian and Kieran on sound, our volunteer food, Laura Bulk, and Barry, who kept us fed and warm. Carolee's photo booth set up. The photo booth takes as much time as the entire event to set up because it is in such exquisite detail. Breezy, Jeff Kang, who is new, Cindy Ho, thank you. The setup team who jumped in and got the rest of the yard ready, Stephanie, Kieran, Ashish, Nikki, Andrea. The takedown team that stayed late to take the job down, Bonnie Sherman, Chris and Andrea, Barry and Michelle, Trish, Deborah, Terry Martin. Thank you again for stepping up and sharing your skills and time with our neighbors. We have demonstrated what this tiny but mighty body of Christ can accomplish together with the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to, as I was praying this morning, I felt the Lord want me to read this over the congregation. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord our God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Evan. That was amazing. And thank you so much for spearheading it. And it's, you know, our vision statement, love God, prioritize people, bless the world. We're doing it. Yay! Thank you, Lord. It's just the beginning. Now I'm going to invite Carolee.
It's long, but I'll try to be really fast and speak really quickly. As some of you know, I was given notice that my apartment was going to be sold out from under me, and I got you praying and my friends praying, and I had peace. Normally, I've moved, this would have been my 32nd move, so normally as soon as I know I've got to move, I start packing, but God just let me not pack. And it connects with a trip I went on with Bronwyn Spilbury, who spoke here a couple of weeks ago. I went to Israel with her and Nikki and a whole bunch of people from 10th Alliance and another lady. And while I was there, there was an older lady with her daughter who was busy, the daughter was busy falling in love with another man that was on the trip. So they were in their own little world, but the mom lost a pearl earring that was very dear to her heart. She's in her 80s and she has dementia. And God put it on my heart to look. So I looked the first day, I looked the second day, the third day I was standing in front of the elevator, and God said, look for the earring. And I looked down, and there was the earring on the floor. So I returned it to the lady. And to this day, she doesn't remember a lot of people, but she remembers who I am. She doesn't speak English, so she points to her ear and smiles and gives me a big hug. So anyway, that connects with my story because the daughter keeps in touch with me. Before they got married, I prayed for both her and her husband for inner healing. I have been in touch with her on a regular basis and prayed for a while on a prayer line with her. And she got in touch with me. I don't know, the days run together. I think it was last Monday, but it might have been the Monday before. And she said, can we have a Zoom meeting? So we had a Zoom meeting. What's going on in your life? So I told her that I was going to have to move and that I was having gum surgery. So she prayed about my gum surgery. And I didn't think anything more about it. And then she said, if you can only eat pureed food, I just made a bunch of pumpkin soup. I'll bring some over tomorrow. So they drove in from Burnaby and brought me 8 jars of pumpkin soup. And then they left. And it was like, in, hand it to you. I gave her a book on inner healing, and she left. And then Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock, I stay up late, so I don't get up at 7. I get a message. Can we have a Zoom meeting at 7:45? So with my coffee and PJs, I took the Zoom meeting. And she said, ask me about my apartment. Why did I want to stay there? And I said, well, it's close to my church. It's good shopping. I can walk everywhere. There's good transit. I don't drive. And she said, would you like to stay? And I said, well, yeah. Who wants to move after a year and a half? And she said, well, God told me I could be your investor, because when I had started praying, I prayed, God, please give me an investor so I don't have to move. And she's my investor, and all the conditions have been lifted off, and it will close on January 5th. And God gave me that miracle, because this week you said to say the bad with the good. I've had 3 life and death situations hit me very close to home. And I had the faith to pray for those. And my girlfriend's husband nearly died Thursday night, and he's been fixed. He's the one that fell on the ladder and had the laceration in his spleen. Well, he helped somebody and lifted something heavy, and I guess the artery started bleeding, and he nearly bled out. And he had to wait 2 hours for the ambulance. The firemen were there, but they can't help you if you're bleeding inside. And then my friend Amay and the Congo, both his family, who lived in Bukavu, their village was attacked. They were hiding. That since has stopped. And he lives in the bush with people who's already lost their villages, and he protects them. And they were being threatened by rebels. And then my son's best friend discovered about a week and a half ago that he had a brain tumor that he didn't know he had, and they operated. And it's the worst possible kind of brain tumor, because it's a secondary one, but they haven't found the primary. And the chance of his survival is 25% for a year to a year and a half. So I'm praying for a miracle with faith, because God already gave me an answer. And my scripture, just look up Matthew 25, read verse 46.
Thank you. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. That's an amazing story, and we will keep those people in prayer as well. We're going to be praying actually a little bit later in the testimony time for healing for people, so they'll be part of that. Let's go to Zoom now. Maddie Zapach, I think that's how she says her name, is Maddie Zapach, our new board member, has a testimony.
Hey everyone, I see I'm spotlighted, so I'm assuming you guys can hear me. I've got a bit of a cold, so I didn't want to get you guys sick. Just wanted to share something that I've been meaning to share for a while now. So, I've struggled with disordered eating since probably about grade 9. And it was around the time that I was diagnosed with celiac disease. I think learning that like food was trying to kill me, I guess my relationship with food just never really recovered after that. I started doing a lot of like hyper restrictive dieting, not really enough food to survive on. And like after a couple weeks of that, would always kind of like binge eat and like destroy my progress. And it just sort of was a cycle that continued indefinitely. And so I've kind of been dealing with like some form of disordered eating or other since that time. And throughout that time, I just kind of felt like this is something that was never going to go away. And I never really brought it to God because I felt like I was the one who was like causing it. And it was my choice. And so it just kind of felt silly. Like, what was I going to pray for? Like, can you help me make a better decision? Or can you help me like just be better? I felt like God didn't care about my like vanity or gluttony. So it was something that just kind of, occupied like a lot of my headspace. And finally, one day last summer, it dawned on me like, you know, whether or not this is my fault or why it's happening, like this is something that's keeping me from experiencing the freedom and fullness of life that God wants for me. And I can't really be all in for God when I'm enslaved to this. Like we can't kind of have these two masters, and I just don't want to be enslaved to this anymore. So I finally kind of prayed and just fully like put it over to God. And it was crazy. It was like this switch just flipped. It was like this immediate like lifting of this burden off of me. And it was great. It like gave me some time to actually tackle some of the underlying issues. Like I started Sabbathing and started going to counseling and was able to kind of unpack some stuff. But it was just really wild to kind of have that burden like fully gone. So I just wanted to encourage like anyone else who's struggling with something that feels like it's just like never going to go away, whether it's an eating disorder or addiction or some kind of unhealthy relationship, like just want to encourage you, like God came so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And that's his heart for you. So like, don't let shame keep you from bringing this to God like I did and like praying for help or counseling or other support. I felt like I was struggling with this because of my own brokenness. And it's like, yeah, duh, of course, like that's why I need Jesus. So just wanted to kind of share that and encourage anyone else who's just feeling like really hopeless with something that like God sees you and he wants to journey with you in that. So
thanks, Maddie. That was awesome. That was awesome. And I hope you heard her invitation, because Jesus wants us free. And we're broken. We're broken people, each one of us. And whether it's through prayer, inner healing prayer, which the church offers, there's people in the church that do that here. We pray for you on Sundays. Counseling is a wonderful, wonderful tool. Please, please, please don't stay stuck. He wants you free. Jesus wants you free.
A few weeks ago, I went to the healing prayer. My neck was so sore. I make my living by sewing at the sewing machine. I have a business with that. So I have to sew every day except Sunday, because Sunday is my Sabbath. But the rest of the week I sew every day. So I thought it was, I'm sewing too much or something. Anyway, so it was so painful that I went to the healing prayer. And they ask you questions. And it reminds me by the question I was asked that I had a car accident long time ago. And it was my fault because at that time I was drinking. And it was my fault. So, and I got the bumper back behind and affected my neck. So, but I forgot about that. And that reminds me that that's the source of my pain. And I have to, they asked me if I, they start praying, and they asked me if I see an image. And I closed my eyes and I saw a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. Yeah, we went with the image that God gave me, and we started praying about it. And we were three ladies praying for me. And the experience is so beautiful. It's so beautiful that when Carolee finished praying for me, Kylie started praying, and she saw the butterfly eating something. And at that moment, I saw my neck pain leave from me. And since then, my pain is gone. Thanks be to God. So that healing prayer works. Yes, thank you.
Praise God. Okay, in keeping with this, I've got a little theme going here. I'm going to invite Shannon up, and I'm going to give this testimony from Rosie. Rosie can't do it herself, so she sent it to me. And it's regarding her mom-in-law, Vela, who wasn't expected. So she's been, Rosie, I hope most of you know her. She's been caring for her mom-in-law for a very long time. No, her mom, for a very long time. Her mom has been having health struggles, and as of April 11th, she was not supposed to live, according to all the tests. She has continued to persevere and pray. We've all been praying for Vela. She's 86 years old. She came home to live with Rosie from long-term care this past Monday. She's been wheelchair-bound for quite a long time. On the first day home, Mom started using her walker instead of the wheelchair, which couldn't fit through the narrow corridor and doorways. On the second day, she ventured up three stairs, and we went outside without the need of any heavy, unaffordable ramp. On the third day, as we were on our walk, her mom stepped slowly toward the back of the wheelchair and used it as a support to walk. So she is being healed even as we speak, continuing. So praise God for that. And now that's in keeping with what Shannon felt was on her heart.
Hello. It's definitely on the heart of a lot of people who have been a part of Redemption Church to continue to take a stand for healing, that we feel called as a community to believe God for healing, to ask for healing, and to take a stand that's a manifestation of the kingdom of God. That's a primary manifestation that he brings when he preaches the gospel through the gospels, is that he would heal the sick and cast out demons, cleanse a leper, raise the dead. And that's the first manifestation. And even when he was in a place that had very, very much unbelief, the minimum that he could do in a place with a lot of unbelief was heal a few sick people. The minimum was that he could heal. And so we just want to take a stand for healing again. And I'm so grateful for the testimonies that have been shared just now about that, because it is so encouraging, Maddie. It's so encouraging, Julie. And Rosie, thank you so much. And I also, 2 weeks ago, my brother was near death with ill and was hospitalized, and he's been prayed for, and day by day, he has seen some improvement. There's still room to go, but he's alive and he's improving bit by bit. So what I want to do is I just want to invite you guys who are with us over Zoom, wherever you are, and those who are in the room, if you are asking and trusting and waiting on God for a touch of healing in your physical body, or a touch of healing in your heart in a long-term area, or it doesn't have to be long-term, but I just want to invite you to stand, because we're going to take a stand with you as a community before the Lord, and we're asking God for his healing, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is his primary proclamation. And he said, as you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he commanded us to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, raise the dead, which means he commanded himself to act in response to our prayer. He promised to act in response to our prayer, because I can't raise the dead, but he commanded to act when we pray. So we just have to do it. So I just want to invite you, and I'm standing as well, because I'm waiting for a touch for the Lord as well. And don't be afraid if it's like everybody in this room. It's okay. We are standing before the Lord. So just what I want, I was on a mission in Pemba, Mozambique, and we did this every time we gathered every day. We would watch an ocean wave of darkness and the spirit crash in on our base, and we'd wake up and people would be sick, and then we would take a stand in the kingdom, and we would declare the kingdom of heaven and God's protection over us, and we would declare the light of the Lord and push back against that, and people would be healed. And we just did that every day. We take a stand. So I just want to declare that. And I am going to proclaim some verses as a prayer over us today. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, we stand before you. And Lord, we want to thank you that your prayer is, you guide us to pray, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you say to declare and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we do that today. Lord, you say to forget not all of your benefits. So today we remember your benefits of forgiving all of our sin and iniquity and healing all of our diseases and delivering us from destruction, redeeming us from it, crowning us with your steadfast love. Lord, we remember before you the crucified lamb. By his stripes we are healed. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. He was bruised and punished for our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Lord, and we remember with Hebrews, you said you warn us against trampling underfoot the Son of God. You warn us against counting the blood of the new covenant as common or worthless. You warn us against insulting the Spirit of grace. We are not doing that today. Today we are not insulting the Spirit of grace. We are calling upon the Spirit of grace. We are calling upon you, Lord God, that you would make good on your promise, that you would give the Lamb the reward of his sufferings in us, Lord. We call upon heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So on everybody taking a stand today, Lord, we just declare and proclaim the gospel is Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised. Crucified, died, buried, and raised for us. He's mediating the new covenant from the right hand of the Father right now. So, Lord, we bless you today. We praise you today for your faithfulness. We thank you for the testimonies. And we ask, touch every person here, every person online with us, Lord. Touch every person. And we just ask right now, heal the sick. Heal hearts, heal lives, heal and restore bodies, Lord God, as the primary demonstration of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Shannon. That was awesome. I am now going to invite Sarah.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Itamnoala. I just have a testimony about God's patience with us. So, on Thanksgiving weekend in October, I went with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship to Thetis Island. Sorry, I don't know the right pronunciation. And I had a lot of fun. I met new people. One of the activities was canoeing and kayaking. So I'd gone canoeing with a friend, a roommate, the previous day. So that was on Saturday, and I really loved it. So on Sunday, I decided to go kayaking because I was like, there's supervision here. It's going to be like easier to do than maybe at the Jericho Beach one here. So, and I didn't want to trust. Many of us could not swim. Many of us like had never had the experience of it. So I preferred to go like in a single one on my own, where like I was in charge of my decisions rather than with someone else that I could be wanting to paddle like right and they were paddling the wrong way. So I went alone. And so I had done it before. So I had done the canoeing before. So I'm like, I can do this. And so I got into the kayak, and the kayak is on the water, right? So as I sat down, like the kayak shook, and I suddenly realized, oh my God, I'm alone. Like, and I can't, I had the life vest, but in that moment I was thinking, I can't swim. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And so I was like, please pull me back, pull me back. And then the lady said, no. And she was like, try to paddle. So I tried to paddle, and then like I saw that the water was already taking me away. And I was like, please pull me back again, like before the water takes me again. And then the lady says a firm, no, Sarah, you can do this. I won't pull you back. And like in that moment, I was so angry with her. I was like, this does not make sense. How, I mean, like, I've withdrawn my consent. Just take me back in. Like, how do you say no to this? And she insisted and said, no, you can do this. And so, like, I just remember feeling, like, just lost. And I was just thinking, what will I tell my parents? When I drown, what are they going to say? Like, was this journey worth it? And because I hadn't told my parents what I was doing. No one knew I was going on the sea. Not like they would have said a firm no. So, and then I remember looking at the sea and just thinking, oh my God, like, I feel so sorry that I ever said any bad thing about Peter and the wave. Like, I truly understand what he's going through, what he went through. And so I was trying to figure things out, but I had already given up in my mind. And then I heard from my back, like, they said, Sarah, Jessie is coming. I think she's the kind trainer, kind of. She does these things. And I looked back, and they're so far away. I'm like, there's no way she's getting to me in time. And yeah, I just, and then anyway, long story short, she caught up with me, and then she held my boat, and then she adjusted my feet, and then told me what to do with the paddle. And then she's like, try it. Let's see if it goes well. And so I remember just saying, I want to turn right, paddle right, move backwards, paddle this. You know, like, I'll just say the instruction in my head to do it. And gradually, I got used to it. At some point, I even started doing, like, races. I was going around. And I just remember just stopping and just being like, God, thank you that Mim said no. Like, I was like, please, what areas of my life have you told me to do something? And like, the fear is just so much, and I'm just like, God, there's no negotiation in this area, as in a firm no. And I just thank God for all the moments he says no. I also felt like the lady that came alongside me to show me how to do my feet, how to do it, I feel like that's how, like, the Holy Spirit works with us too. Like, we have our journey and it looks like bigger than us, but then the Holy Spirit comes and he tells us what to do, and then the instructions, paddle right, do this and that. The word of God, we have that. But on our own, because they had told me, just paddle. I'm like, I know I should paddle, but I don't know what I'm doing here. I feel that's the word of God. And then the Holy Spirit teaches us how to apply the word of God for every moment of our life. And if we let God, sometimes his no, even though in that moment it seems like he's very mean, at the end of the day, we see that we really, it makes us better people. And so I want to thank God for all the no's he said to me that actually worked out for my good. And yeah, this is hoping that you also, yeah, say yes to God, no matter how scary it is. Praise God.
Thank you, Sarah. There's a good word there. I hope you guys heard it. Fear not. And where are we saying no to God? I think that was like, whoa, good one. Lastly, Ashish has kind of a confirmation of the, what is it? What do you have? It's a testimony. Health. He's got health. He's going to testify to health. Sorry.
Good morning, everyone. So I initially wasn't going to share, but I've been sitting on this for the last few months. So about 12 months ago, Kieran, Josh Wilhelm, and I were jamming, and we could record everything. And I saw my belly go like that, and that's when I realized something has to change. So I bought a set of weights. And what I didn't realize was that was just the beginning of God restoring health in every area of my life. So it started with that, and then it... And that same week, I've been struggling with something that happened to me when I was 9 years old, and I was finally able to admit that that was evil's plan to have me rooted in shame and contempt. And since then, God has restored relational, spiritual, physical health. I don't know where to begin because I only have probably like less than 2 minutes, but I'll keep it succinct. It starts with 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. And when we realize that everything that we do to our bodies, to those around us, has consequences, and when we realize that we will one day have to give account for what we've done, the cost starts to add up, and we start, at least for me, I started to really pay attention to how I was beating myself up. I was taking the stresses of work and then not surrendering it to God. Instead, I was eating a lot. Before that, it was alcohol. Come talk to me, because we live in a city where everyone has 2% body fat, and and I'm walking around pulling my pants up, and like this sweater was meant to hide the fat, and now it's loose. I get to buy new clothes soon, and it's exciting. Like, thank God for that. I was what evil had meant to put me in a hole, and COVID could have really exasperated it. Like, I was in a bad spot. But instead, I feel alive. Every now and then, like, Kieran was living with me for a while, but he would hear me sing the Pearl Jam song Alive. And thank God that he came to give us life and life abundantly. So I know that people were really afraid of going back to the office because they probably put on the COVID-15, or some people were 50. But I hope that you find hope in God and trusting him entirely for your health, and trusting him entirely for every aspect of your life. So what started with shame of not being able to hide my overweight condition has now turned into, I don't want to say prosperity, because I've had a terrible week with eating, but it's, I'm thriving in every area of my life. So thank God. It's not hard work. It's honestly God just pushing me through it. You can work out 6 days a week and eat 200 calories a day, but that will have a cost. But if we do it for God, if we realize our bodies are not our own, we can experience his wealth and fullness. So I hope that gives you hope. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Ashish. I'm blown away by our God, again, constantly. These are all these testimonies are the Lord's doing, and isn't it marvelous in our eyes? This is our God, people. This is the God who is worthy of our worship and our praise. And if you're sitting there and thinking, oh, I don't have a testimony, you do, and you will. And I just encourage you to come up for prayer afterwards. Come up for prayer. There'll be some of us up here ready to pray with you.